So, what's good, everybody? It's Dylan Lennick on the D the Sportsman podcast, and my goodness, I'm just going to jump straight into it. I'm going to talk about the Wolves, and I'm going to talk about any and all things Minnesota Timberwolves starting out 3-8. I'm going to talk about the Memphis Grizzlies game, and I'm going to talk about Anthony Edwards specifically and talk about what he needs to do to improve his game and get out of this slump of his since his turnover late in the game against San Antonio. Let's jump straight into it. So, first we're just going to start talking about the Memphis Grizzlies game. Well, interesting. It started out, it was going pretty well. First three quarters of basketball, solid good quarters. There was about a stretch in the second quarter where Jim Peterson had actually said that that is the best stretch of basketball he has seen since Jimmy Butler has last played on the Wolves. And I couldn't agree more. D'Angelo Russell was doing his thing. Karl Anthony Towns was doing his thing. Malik Beasley was doing his thing. It was all working out. People were playing well. And there was just a connection, especially between the current big three of D'Lo, Cat, and Malik Beasley. So now I'm going to go into the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter started, and Minnesota was up. And it was just a poor start. Jonas Valanciunas and Brandon Clark were having their way in the paint. And Cat, who had played great defense the entire game and still played good defense in the fourth quarter, just couldn't do what the Wolves needed him to do to stop Brandon Clark and Jonas Valanciunas. I actually don't put the blame on Cat, and many people don't whatsoever, because you can't expect a man to guard two great finishers in the paint, specifically Brandon Clark, at one time. I mean, that's just not doable. You need help, and Juancho Hernan Gomez wasn't giving Cat that help. So what they decided to do as the fourth quarter went on is they put Juancho Hernan Gomez, they put him at the top of the key guarding Kyle Anderson. So Kyle Anderson got a screen, and Juancho went under that screen. And I was sitting there, I was yelling at my TV. And I was saying, oh my goodness, get your hand up. Kyle Anderson will make that shot. You know what Kyle Anderson did? He made that shot, boosted the lead, and it was a bad look. Next play down the court, Kyle Anderson, exact same situation, ball screen, Juancho goes under it, gives him too much space. Kyle Anderson hits another three. That's when the game was over, in my opinion. There was no coming back from that. Especially when Ricky Rubio clearly didn't have the confidence to shoot at the moment. Just overall a bad look. And I was very frustrated, especially with Juancho Hernan Gomez, because overall I can't stand him. He's a guy who plays the four. He's a power forward that can't do what a power forward needs to do. And many people are like, well, he's a catch-and-shoot player. Yes, he is a catch-and-shoot player. You know what he's not good at? Catch-and-shoots. He's been very, very inefficient from the three-point line this year. And oftentimes his misses are looking awfully bad, actually. He's either going to make it or it's going to be an ugly miss. He started the first quarter with an air ball from three, which was just rough. And overall, continued to have a pretty poor game, and it just seemed weird. And he has not been efficient whatsoever this entire season so far. And when you're our starting power forward, you need to deliver. And he has not delivered. And it's just not fun as a fan to watch. I mean, he went 1-for-6 from three last night. That is not efficient from a catch and shoot four. I mean, come on, man. If you can't play defense, if you can't do what Jared Vanderbilt can do off the bench, we don't want you starting. Especially if you can't do what you're said to do, which is shoot. And I think part of that goes on to Coach Ryan Saunders. I mean, he has had some weird lineups. From now on, he needs to realize that he needs to start Cat and D'Lo earlier in the fourth quarter. You can't put them in at the end. The reason that we won the second San Antonio game is because D'Lo and Cat were starting. Well, sorry, Cat was out that game because they weren't going to play him on a back-to-back with his dislocated left wrist. If you don't know about that, check out Adrian Wojnarowski. He has tweets about it. So D'Lo was playing more in that fourth quarter than he's actually played, which is what needs to happen. Ryan Saunders actually put him in the time he should be put in. And you know what? We won the game because Malik Beasley and D'Lo played so well. But we're not going to be able to beat the Grizzlies if you keep insisting on playing players who aren't feeling it. I mean, Juancho Hernan Gomez can't be in at the end. Ricky Rubio. And if you know me, you know that Ricky Rubio is a top three favorite player of mine ever. I love Ricky Rubio. But he had no confidence whatsoever last night, and it was atrocious to watch Ryan Saunders insist on keeping him in the game when he had no confidence in his shot whatsoever. So I think a lot of this blame goes on to Ryan Saunders. And of course, that was only our fourth game actually with Karl-Anthony Towns. So, I mean, there's definitely things to be worked out. Also, we know Karl-Anthony Towns, there's no way his wrist is comfortable right now. I mean, he had a dislocated left wrist, was out for 2 weeks, and they rushed him back. This was said to be a 6 to 8 week injury, and I can't believe that they actually decided to rush him back. And quite frankly, if he feels he's comfortable with it, I think it's a good choice, but it's also the right choice not to play him on back-to-backs for a little bit, just to rest him every once in a while. I think he will play against the Grizzlies on Friday, tomorrow. So now I'm going to go into Anthony Edwards, number one overall pick in the NBA draft, started hot. He was feeling it for the beginning of the season. Rough game in the Lakers game. He went 1 for 9 from 3 against the Lakers. That was just a poor performance, but that was definitely one of those moments where he was a guy where everybody gave it to him, like to shoot the half court shot. It's like, hey, you're the rookie. You're gonna miss a shot, and we're not trying to ruin our percentage. So they just gave him the ball, added like three misses. But still, not an efficient game whatsoever. And otherwise, the whole beginning of the season, he was feeling it. Not efficient from three, not necessarily efficient in general, but still able to get good minutes and clutch points. And then came the first game against the Spurs. And down three, 12 seconds left, he had the ball. And he had the wide open layup or dunk, whatever he was going to do. And at that point, when he was driving in, there were about 5 seconds left. And instead of taking the easy two, which would have put them down one, but they could have fouled and then scored, he or gotten the inbound steal, he decided to pass it out when it really made no sense. And there was really no commitment. Either you weren't going to drive in the first place, or you weren't going to pass it out. So what he did is he drove in and then he passed it out, and they lost the game because it was deflected by LaMarcus Aldridge, and he got a lot of backlash for that. And it makes sense. That's a rookie mistake. Not a good look, but I mean, it's a rookie mistake. It happens, right? He has been so inefficient and played so poorly from that moment on. In the last 35 minutes of basketball that he's played over the last two games, he is 1 for 14 in 35 minutes of play. And that is not something you want out of your number one overall pick with 2 points in 35 minutes. I mean, he needs to play better. If us Wolves fans really want to see a future in this team, and specifically Anthony Edwards. And I really like Anthony Edwards. If you haven't seen his interview with Marty Gellner on Wolves Plus, check that out. Very fun interview. A1 from day one. Just a great interview. Funny, charismatic guy. I think anyone would enjoy watching that or listening to that. Excuse me. But overall, he has played poorly. And there's no way around that. I mean, that is poor basketball in his last 35 minutes. And people are pretty much jumping to conclusions right now that it's guys like, that it's only Ricky Rubio, Juancho Hernan Gomez. People need to pay more attention to the fact that Anthony Edwards has been poor. I mean, I was very comfortable watching him with a basketball. I thought in the first several games, I was like about first 10. I was, well, first 9. I was comfortable when he held the basketball. I thought to myself, yep, he's going to be a starter soon. They're just going to get him into this whole zone, and he'll be a starter. He'll be running with D'Lo, Cat, Malik. That's going to be amazing. And then came that one turnover, and he has been in a slump. So, what are they going to do about that? I mean, there are a few things they can do about that. I think that he is not very useful right now in crunch, important, serious minutes. I think he is actually negatively impacting the team, as I said by stats, 1 for 14 in the last 35 minutes. I mean, that's terrible. 0 for 8 in game 10. They just need more from him. And I think that'll come with maybe giving him some garbage time minutes, playing with some players where they know he won't, he'll be the one getting the ball the most. So he can take the opportunity to, if he misses a few shots, it's fine. Just get him some buckets, get him rolling, because he's a guy who fuels his game off scoring. That's just what he does. He's a scorer. That's what he naturally does. And he's been very inefficient from three. I think before last night's game against the Grizzlies, he shot like 28% from three. I mean, that's really bad. But that happens. He's a rookie, only like 10 games in, now 11. That's fine. I mean, he has to improve, but it happens. He's a rookie, 10 games in. His decision making will improve, hopefully, if he's someone who's coachable and willing to get better. And we've seen it. He said going into this year that the biggest knock on his game was defense. So he was going to improve on defense, which he has done. And he's not great, but you can tell he's building up on it, and it's something he's working on. So what he also needs to work on is general decision making. His decision making has not been very good. He doesn't know when to pass, and he doesn't know when to shoot. And he shoots a lot of contested deep threes, and he can shoot the ball. I mean, he's made some of them. And you're like, wow. I remember there was a game, and I'm blanking on which game this was. I'm not 100% sure which game this was. He had three threes in a row, and you were like, wow. This guy can really shoot the basketball. I mean, there's no question that he can shoot it from an NBA range to any of those who were questioning it before. And it's just all about decision making because he can shoot the ball. So 28% isn't acceptable for a player who can actually really shoot the basketball. And he's no Steph Curry. Not what I'm saying. He's not a shooter, he's not a catch and shoot player, but he can shoot. So I want to keep seeing him do that, but when he's open, he can't try to force those threes. Just like he can't try to force contact and contested layups and dunks, which he's good at. Don't get me wrong, he's very good at knowing how to use his body. But when he's triple teamed in the paint, he needs to be able to pass out. And you can tell the moments where he'll go off the court, It's clear someone like Ryan Saunders will say to him, like, hey, you gotta dish the ball out to the corner or something. He'll come back in and he'll only be passing. And you know he fixes his mind on one specific thing instead of being able to make game time decisions, which is my biggest knock on his game. And I think he'll be able to improve. I really hope, but that's the main reason why he hasn't been efficient. So I think time will tell with that, but they gotta get him with some garbage time minutes, let him score, as I said, and I think that'll just help him get back in the zone, then play him in more important minutes. But we can't, us fans can't watch a team that's losing to the Memphis Grizzlies without Ja Morant or Jaren Jackson Jr. I just not okay. I mean, they're missing their best player and arguably their other best player or top three, depends where you put Valanciunas, or I guess Dylan Brooks or Kyle Anderson. Depends where you're putting those guys. But they can't be losing these games when we're completely healthy. I mean, when you think about this, D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns, that's a good duo. And not only are they two good players, we saw in that game they're actually a good duo. They work together. They have a very nice pick and roll, and it's clean. And they were able to hit each other. There was one beautiful play where D'Lo off Cat screen had a great behind the back pass to Cat for the three. Cash, it was a great play. So they have a lot of chemistry, and they're best friends off the court. So everything is in peace for we have all the pieces to beat this Memphis Grizzlies team tomorrow. And that's what needs to be done because that loss, getting absolutely crushed in the fourth quarter, isn't okay. And that can't happen. So let's see what happens. And I'll post another podcast about what happens on Friday's game. So, yeah, everyone, have a good night or a good day if you're listening to this on Friday, which is tomorrow for me. Yeah, have a good one.